Acacia area into which we'd stepped was a huge circular room, encircled by a balcony on which we stood. The true floor was hundreds of meters below us, and the thread plunged from above, emerging through the ceiling via an irised entrance door, then stretching down towards the point where it was truly anchored, and where servicing machinery lurked to refurbish and repair the elevators. It was somewhere down there that the sound of the chanting was coming from, voices carried higher by the odd acoustics of the place. The bridge was a single thread of hyperdiamond, stretching all the way from ground to synchronous orbit. For almost its entire length it was only 5 meters in diameter, and most of that was hollow, except for the very last kilometer, which dropped into the terminal itself. The thread here was 30 meters wide, tapering subtly as it rose. The extra width served a purely psychological function. Too many passengers had balked at taking the journey to orbit when they saw how slender the thread they would be riding really was, so the bridge owners made the visible portion in the terminal much wider than it needed to be. Elevator cars arrived and departed every few minutes or so, ascending and descending on opposite sides of the column. Each was a sleek cylinder curved to grip nearly half the thread, attached magnetically. The cars were multi-storied, with separate levels for dining, recreation, and sleeping. They were mostly empty, their passenger compartments unlit as they glided up or down. There were a handful of people in only every fifth or sixth car. The empty cars were symptomatic of the bridge's economic woes, but not a great problem in themselves. The expense of running them was tiny compared with the cost of the bridge. They had no impact on the schedule of the inhabited cars, and from a distance they looked as full as the others, conveying an illusion of busy prosperity which the bridge owners had long given up hoping would one day approach reality, since the church had assumed tenancy. And the monsoon season may have given the illusion that the wall was in its dog days, but plans were already drawn for the new season's campaigns, the pushes and incursions already simulated in the battle planners' war game computers. A dizzyingly unsupported tongue of glass reached from the balcony to a point just short of the thread, leaving enough space for an elevator to arrive. Some passengers were already waiting on the tongue with their belongings, including a group of well-dressed aristocrats, but no Rivage, and no one in the party who resembled any of Rivage's associates. They were talking amongst themselves or watching news reports on screens which floated around the chamber like square, narrow-bodied tropical fish, flickering with market reports and celebrity interviews. Near the base of the tongue was a booth where elevator tickets were being sold. A bored-looking woman was behind the desk. "Wait here," I said to Dieterling. The woman looked up at me as I approached the desk. She wore a crumpled bridge authority uniform, and had purple crescents under her eyes, which were themselves bloodshot and swollen.
"Yes?"
"I'm a friend of Argent Rivage. I need to contact him urgently."
"I'm afraid that is impossible."
It was no more than I was expecting. "When did he leave?" Her voice was nasal, the consonants indistinct.
"I'm afraid I can't give out that information."
I nodded shrewdly. "But you don't deny that he passed through the terminal?"
"I'm afraid I..."
"Look, give it a rest, will you?" I softened the remark with what I hoped was an accommodating smile. "Sorry, it wasn't my intention to sound rude, but this happens to be very urgent. I have something for him, you see, a valuable Rivage family heirloom. Is there any way I can speak to him while he's still ascending, or am I going to have to wait until he reaches orbit?" The woman hesitated. Almost any information she divulged at this point would have contravened protocol, but I must have seemed so honest, so genuinely distressed by my friend's omission, and so clearly rich.